Well, as Steve said, my name's Caroline, and for anybody who doesn't know me, I'm married to Simon, and we've got three amazing kids. Our oldest daughter is 10, and then we've got an 8-year-old and 5-year-old boys as well. I'm clearly American, and I've been living in England for almost 15 years, and the whole of that time I've been in Bedford, which I love. It's such an honor to be speaking to you guys this morning, especially on this subject of mothering, because I love being a mother, and I love having a mother, and I love having a mother-in-law, and I'm going to try really hard not to start crying at this point. Oh, all the girls can relate. And I also love experiencing those qualities of God that we see so reflected in us as women. I wanted to start this morning, I thought it was only right, to show you guys a photograph of me with my mom, so it should come up on the screen here. I shouldn't have looked at her. Okay, I'm sure it's just nerves. But anyway, you guys can see from the picture, although I'm not going to look at it, that that we look similar. We both have similar features, dark hair and dark eyes, and actually our voices sound the same as well. If you get the privilege of meeting her in a few weeks' time when she visits, I think you'll see a lot of resemblances in us. It's interesting because not only do we look alike, but also we have really similar personalities. We both love people. We love connecting with people, being with people. We often cry with our friends. We love people. We love entertaining and cooking. We also both are really fond of making lists. And I don't know if any of you guys can relate, but we both realize that if we don't write it down, then more than likely we're going to forget. And also, we just love marking it off the list when it's finished. And I know that Monica from Friends does this as well, which I don't know if is a good connection for me. But anyway, I know that I love accomplishing a job that wasn't on the list and then putting it on the list just for the joy of marking it off. Yes, good. Well, my mom does the same thing. I'm sure I learned it from her. But anyway, I wondered, does everybody remember from basic like biology why this is so? Why my mom and I are so similar? I'm sure you all do. We have the same DNA. And because of this DNA, it's so easy to see that I reflect my mom's image. That looking at her is a bit like, looking at me is a bit like looking at a photo of her. And I want to suggest this morning that in the same way that looking at me is like looking at a photo of my mom, I want to suggest that that looking at us collectively as moms, indeed as women, is like looking at a photograph of some of the aspects of God's character. The Bible says when we read about God that he bounces us on his knee, that he holds us near to his chest, that everything about us is noticed by him. Sounds a lot like moms, doesn't it? I just want to pray for us real quick before we get too far into this morning. God, we just want to thank you. I want to thank you for every person who's in this room this morning. I thank you that you love us and that you love to talk to us. And God, I just pray that you'd open our hearts now just to hear what you have to say. Amen. Okay, so let's read the verse that I want to focus on this morning. I hope it come up on the screen behind me. It's from Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. And it says this: can a mother forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are always before me. The Bible likens these characteristics to mothers because mothers are the strongest picture in all of nature of these characteristics of God. But you know, we're all created in God's image. So if you're not a mother here this morning, or indeed you're a man, don't switch off, because I think you're going to find some encouragement as well. Okay, firstly, we see here that compassion stands out. In this verse, Isaiah the writer asks if it's possible for a mother to forget her newborn baby. Could she have no compassion on her child? And I think the obvious answer that the writer's looking for here is no, this would be impossible. A mother nursing her newborn child has indescribable feelings of attachment, and tender affection flows between them. For a mother to forget or have no compassion on her child would be difficult, and it would be really unlikely. It would be very painful. But Isaiah recognizes that we're human and we're broken. And so he makes the point that even if a mother could do that, God never would. Isaiah looks at the strongest picture of compassion in all of nature, a mother with her newborn baby, and says, "My compassion for you, my kids, is even better. It's even more perfect than that." You know, compassion means suffering together with. I'm sure you guys can all relate to the fact that when someone we love is suffering, we suffer too. This is especially true of moms. When our kids suffer, we suffer. In fact, sometimes we would rather suffer in their place. This compassion comes so easily when we're having, when our kids are, say, struggling in friendship groups, or they're ill, or they're being bullied. It just flows from us. It's no problem. It comes easily. You know, my five-year-old son, Ethan, just started school recently in September. He started reception. And because of our summer holidays and things, I hadn't made time for him to have his hair cut before he started school. And so he started with, like, big, really big hair. And he's got that kind of from my DNA, bit of a helmet like my dad. And After a couple days of school, I finally made time and I took him for a haircut. And the following morning, I was settling him into his class, and a little girl was standing nearby. And she suddenly just started pointing and laughing at him, going, "You look funny," like right in his face. And then another little girl came up and she started pointing and laughing. And I was kind of confused, trying to work out what on earth was going on. And I looked at Ethan and tears were just like pouring down his face, and his chin, his like lower lip started quivering, and I thought, oh dear. And when I saw my boy like that, I realized, oh, he does look different, but he certainly doesn't look funny. And when he was standing there feeling like so vulnerable and looking so hurt, what I like to call the mama bear rose up in me. And I think all you moms can relate. It's that like nearly violent compassion. And it's it says, "I am going to do whatever it takes to protect my boy, and I am a lot bigger than you." And so as nicely as the mama bear would allow, I put those two girls back in their place, and I helped them see that they needed to apologize to Ethan. And then I got to give Ethan some compassion. I was so glad I was there. It's so hard to send your kid off to reception for the first time anyway, but I was so glad I was there to be able to comfort him. And you know, it was no effort. I didn't have to muster up the comfort. It just flowed naturally, because by instinct, that's what we do as moms. But how's our compassion with our kids or with the other people around us when maybe they're suffering because of their own choices? Maybe they're suffering because of a bad choice they made that we pre-warned them about. How are we doing at letting the compassion of God flow out of us when they're expressing their suffering with explosions of anger that are pointed at you just because you happen to be standing in the room, instead of soft tears and quivering lips? You know, I experienced this one recently too when I ran into a friend of mine in a coffee shop, and I didn't sit down because I was in a hurry, but she was having coffee with another woman who I had never met before. And as she introduced me to this other woman, I recognized that the woman had a different accent. So I asked what I thought was an obvious question. "So, where are you from?" And you know, with hatred in her eyes, the woman looked up at me and she said this, "I can hear your accent, and I can hear that you're American. And if you think that I am going to sit here and answer your questions while you interrogate me under the spotlight, when you and your country went into my country and messed it up," although she swore in a really mean word, "you are wrong." And I was like, whoa. And I was thinking, you know what? I want to say to that lady, "You are the meanest person I've ever met. You don't know me. You have never met me before." And then I wanted to run out to my car as quickly as I could so that I could cry in private. But instead, I was just so shocked that I stood there frozen. And I was saying, God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You got to help me. You got to help me. I got to get out of here. And he said this to me so clearly. He broke in and said, what I want you to do is kneel down on the floor in front of that woman, at that woman's feet. And I want you to apologize for what your country did to hurt her. And so as I did, like now, I started to cry as I did that in that coffee shop there when I sat at her feet. And as I apologized on behalf of my country for all the pain that she had, I mean, I suddenly like meant every word that I said. And in a moment, God changed my hurt and my anger and the total injustice of what she had just exploded onto me when she didn't even know me. He changed that into compassion because he remembered her. And I just had the privilege of being in the right place at the right time and being desperate enough to show her his compassion. You know, I don't always act like that, but I want to more and more. What about you? How are you doing at letting God's compassion flow out of you, even when the packaging might be angry and it might be directed at you? We also see in this verse that God always remembers us. It says that he has us engraved on the palms of his hands. This is the same as saying that you are tattooed, your name and my name are tattooed on the palm of his hands so that he won't forget us. That's really extreme, isn't it? When I thought about this over the last few weeks, I was trying to remember seeing a tattoo on someone's palm, and I couldn't ever remember seeing a tattoo on someone's palms of their hands. And I think for any of us who have been to a swimming pool recently, we could all agree that there are some weird tattoos in some weird places. But I don't remember seeing one on the palm of one's hands. And so as I looked into this, I found out that no respected tattoo artist will actually tattoo on anyone's palms. And that's for two reasons. One is that it apparently is one of the most painful places on the body to have a tattoo. And number two, the hand is used so much that it wouldn't last. So like within a year, you'd be left with two blobs on the palm, like two big constant bruises on the palms of your hands. But God says here, he's tattooed us on the palms of his hands. So what does this mean? You know, I can't help but see a symbolic connection here that the writer Isaiah is making. He's painting us a picture about the scars that remain on the hands of Jesus in heaven today. In a couple of weeks' time at Easter, we're all going to be here again, and we're going to be celebrating the fact that that Jesus endured death on a cross, being nailed to a cross, and raised to life again so that we could know his dad, so that we could know God. And, you know, if we choose to put our trust in him because of what he did on the cross, we can be washed clean, we can be free, and we can experience personally this compassion that I've been talking about this morning. This freedom for us to know God, though, and experience this compassion came at a high price for Jesus. And in heaven today, he still bears the scars like tattoos on his hands to prove it. And as mothers, you know, we reflect this part of God, too. We have endured pain for something greater, haven't we? You know, all mothers endure pain to bring life. And a lot of us, we all have the scars or the stretch marks to prove it. But, you know, when we look at those scars, I know every mother I know, like God, thinks it was worth it. Okay, the last part of this verse that I want to unpack this morning is about the protection of God. Isaiah says, "Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are always before me." At first glance, I think this sentence seems a bit out of place. Your walls? What does that mean? In the book of Isaiah, the people of Israel symbolize the people of God, us, you and me. And Jerusalem, the walls that he's talking about here are the walls of Jerusalem, the walls of the city where the people lived. And these walls weren't built to confine the people and hold them in because they had gates built into the walls that stood open. The people could move freely in and out of the walls, and they were there for protection when the people needed them. The fact that God is saying here, your walls are always before me, is saying your safety is in the forefront of my mind. I am your protector. Before I had children, you know, I was pretty unaware of my own personal safety. I didn't give much thought to long-term consequences of the risks that I was taking all the time. I would find the steepest black mountain that I could ski down, and I would go just full force, point my skis down, take jumps, ski in and out of trees, and I loved it, and I never ever once thought I could break a bone. It never entered my mind. I also hitchhiked quite a bit, and I was just totally at peace with the danger of being in the car with an unknown, usually male driver when I was by myself or with another girlfriend. It just never crossed my mind. I moved to a completely different country, this country, by myself. And, you know, didn't know anybody. And I just came because I didn't think a whole lot about my own danger or risks or consequences or anything like that. But then something changed. I had a baby. And suddenly it was like the floodgates of safety consciousness burst open. And it was like by instinct, I suddenly had this like safety radar or something. And I could see dangers that were lurking around every corner, even in my own home. And I would make random checks in the night just to make sure that a wayward blanket hadn't kind of moved up, blocking the airways of my baby. And then it kind of moved on to stair gates and plug covers and internet safety and road safety and on and on and on and on. And it was like, I've got a safety radar and I'm not afraid to use it, you know? It was exhausting. We just have this innate ability as moms to be able to sense danger and to want to protect our kids. But, you know, this is a picture of how we reflect God. I think we get this from our Heavenly Father. Remember that we are windows as women. We are windows into his heart. Our safety and protection is always at the forefront of his mind. Our walls are always before him. Sometimes for me, though, my safety radar can kind of go a little bit haywire, and it actually goes right into fear. What if something happens to my child while I'm not there? What if I can't protect them? What if something happens to me? Then who's going to look after their safety? You know, if we choose to let these fears run wild in our mind and our hearts, they will consume us. You know, we may even end up with some kind of stress-related health issues. But more than likely, we will end up with children who are so tired of being boxed in by fear-driven mothers that they can't wait to turn 13 and break out and go wild. I'm struck by the fact that the walls that are being talked about here in this verse have gates in them that stand open. The walls of God's protection don't symbolize control. They symbolize safety and freedom to choose. We don't have to be consumed with fear either. You know, when we choose to give our fears to God, when we choose to come to him and say, God, I am so afraid, but I know that the Bible says that you are love and that your love drives out fear. So come right now and flood me with your love and wash away every fear. And he does, every time. Then from this place of knowing that we and our children are protected by the God of all the universe, then we're free to empower our kids to make their own choices within appropriate boundaries instead of confining them in an effort to sort of minimize my own fear. A friend of mine recently had a chance to put this one to the test when her 14-year-old daughter asked if she could go with her older friends to a nightclub that, yay, was opening its door to younger kids for an evening. And she wanted to shout out, no, you're too young, no. But she recognized she had a choice. And she could either choose to box her child in with her own fears or first take her fear to God and then decide. And so my friend, being so courageous and clever, decided for the latter. And she and her husband went to God. They told him all about their fears. They asked him for his wisdom, and they asked a few friends for wise advice as well. And then they made a plan. And they sat down with their daughter, and they told her really honestly and really openly, this really scares me, and this is why. Then they talked through a few scenarios, and all three of them agreed together on some safe boundaries that they were all happy with. And, you know, they said at the end of it, their daughter felt, she felt trusted, and she felt loved, and she felt safe. And I thought that was a pretty amazing result. And by the way, the night out went just fine as well. It went great. Because they actually trusted their daughter. They weren't sure about everybody else at the nightclub. You know, they were able to express this protective side of God's heart without control, because they first took their fears to God. They got his wisdom, and they got his perspective that he is our protector, and ultimately he is their daughter's best protector. This is so key for all of us, guys. We do not have to live in fear. His love drives out fear. He is our protector. Our walls are always before him. So moms, this morning, I want you to all go away encouraged. You and your mothering, in your unparalleled compassion, in your delight in your kids, in your loving, even in the midst of pain, and even with your safety radar, you reflect God. And the good news is that even when we fail as mothers, he never does. And all of us can be encouraged this morning that even when we fall short, when we don't show compassion and we wished we had, when we give in to fear, our Heavenly Father has perfect compassion for each of us. And when we stop and come to him, his love drives away every fear.